It's allergies. We are not crying. So last week, we listened to the still small voice in us for our white stone ceremony, where we took a white stone and in meditation listened for a word or a name or a symbol to guide us through the coming year. It's a private and individual thing. And then we wrote our words on our stones. So were any of you surprised by what you got? And has any of it been useful so far? I loved my word. I'm going to talk about it later in the year. But that ceremony is based on a verse from Revelation. And as I was reading it, I thought, we ought to talk more about Revelation. So that's today and for the next 2 weeks, although it's hard to say a medium amount about Revelation. It's either very small or a year's study. So we'll see how this goes, but that verse about the white stone is as good a spot as any to wade in. I forgot my glasses. But you remember that verse says, to him who conquers, I will give a white stone, and on it is written a new name that no one knows except the one who receives it. Revelation begins actually with several promises like that. The new name is one of seven promises given to everyone who conquers. Earlier translations say, to him who overcometh. So conquer what? Overcometh what? Life's hardships, of course, moving forward in faith no matter the outer circumstances. But the hardest work is overcoming ourselves, error thinking, limiting thoughts and beliefs, fear, the temptation to shrink back from life, to avoid anything that might hurt. Overcoming is the willingness to learn more, to deepen your connection with spirit and life. Those who conquer are willing to seek and knock, and they receive these promises from God. There are seven promises. They're all in chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation. So let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. To everyone who conquers, I will give permission to eat from the tree of life that is in the paradise of God. Remember in the Garden of Eden, there were two trees, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Adam and Eve ate from the knowledge of good and evil. It was duality. They left their state of oneness and made life harder than it has to be, which is pretty much what we all do. But at the very end of Revelation, we get to eat from that tree of life. So this symbol of the tree of life becomes bookends for the Bible in Genesis and Revelation, which I am sure was not intentional on a human level. The second promise says, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. The third is the one we know. To everyone who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give a white stone. And on the white stone is written a new name that no one knows except the one who receives it. I will give some of the hidden manna we kind of glossed over last week. But manna is food, it's nourishment. You remember the Hebrew slaves with Moses in the wilderness were given manna every day. So hidden nourishment would be inner resources. Jesus said, I have food you know not of. It's drawing on that divine within. The fourth promise says, to everyone who conquers and continues to do my works to the end, I will give authority over the nations. And fifth, if you conquer, you will be clothed like them in white robes, and I will not blot your name out of the book of life. It's beginning to sound like Revelation. I will confess your name before my Father and before his angels. If you conquer, I will make you a pillar in the temple of my God. You will never go out of it. And seven, to the one who conquers, I will give a place with me on my throne, just as I myself conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. That throne represents living in divine consciousness. And that's where we're headed. That's what the conquering and overcoming are for. these are pretty extravagant promises, which makes me want to know more about conquering, how to go about that. And Revelation is full of beasts and dragons and violence and suffering as symbols of what we have to overcome on the spiritual journey. But Revelation has just one message. I don't care what else you hear about it. I don't care how scary those predictions seem to be, and we'll get to those. Revelation has one message. Everything will be okay in the end. And if it's not okay, it's not the end. It's a spiritual message. It applies to all of humanity and to each individual life. And as we go through Revelation, you'll hear that message over and over and over. Because in truth, this is a book that paints a fantastical picture of slogging our way through the human experience in order to create paradise on earth. This is what it takes. This is how it works. Yes, some things will have to be destroyed along the way, but we knew that. It's the hero's journey. There are always obstacles to overcome, but there's treasure in the end. Nothing about Revelation is literal. Revelation was not written to predict our future or the end of the world on this planet. It was written to address the suffering of its time, sometime in the first century, when the followers of Jesus were living under the Roman Empire. It is not about being judged now or later. It is not about a select few watching from heaven with Jesus and laughing while the rest of us writhe in agony. It is not about who will or won't be left behind. It is a beautiful, positive, uplifting description of the spiritual process that raises our consciousness to its highest, most divine level and is available to each of us. Like the rest of the Bible, Revelation is about spiritual beings having a human experience and trying to move into new possibilities, a new dimension in spiritual consciousness, which we know triggers a big fight with our own egos. So Revelation is about the universal principles that guide that journey. Its visions can be terrifying, but the human experience can be terrifying. We know that. And ultimately, this is a message of hope and love. So Ed Townley, you may remember when he was here about a year and a half ago. He's a Unity minister in Hartford, Connecticut. And he wrote a book last year titled Kingdom Come, which is a metaphysical interpretation of Revelation. And it's what I'm using for this series. I don't think we have it in the bookstore. And I didn't order any because I didn't know how much you'd really want to know about every symbol in the book of Revelation. But if you want it, Baxter can order it, or you can go to Amazon through our affiliate link. Ed says, Revelation is one final triumphant invitation to move fearlessly past the illusions of darkness into the truth of spiritual light. So when we get to the beasts and the dragons and the fire and brimstone next week, remember, they are illusions of darkness to move past. They are what we conquer to eat from the tree of life. So a bit of background. Revelation has several names. It is the book of Revelation. No S, not Revelations. I don't want you to go around sounding ignorant. Book of Revelation. Because another name for it is the Revelation to John, or the Apocalypse. The word apocalypse actually means revealing something that has been hidden, especially if there's a spiritual vision involved. We don't know who this John was. He says at the beginning of the book that he was banished to the island of Patmos off the coast of Asia Minor for preaching about Jesus. And he says he was praying one day, and a loud voice behind him told him to write a book and send it to seven churches that were in what is now Turkey. He turned around to see who was talking, and he saw the Son of Man, or Jesus, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash across his chest. His head and his hair were white wool, white as snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined as in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand he held 7 stars, and from his mouth came a sharp, two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining with full force. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he placed his right hand on me, saying, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. I was dead, and see, I'm alive forever and ever. And I have the keys of death and of Hades. Now write what you've seen, what is, and what is to take place after this." That's just the first chapter, and it's already wild. But here's this image of the divine saying, "Fear not, I'm alive forever, life is eternal." Jesus was not unique. He did what each of us must do, overcome fear and the illusion of death. And here is the Christ, the I Am, speaking through Jesus, saying, "I have overcome the world." What we eventually recognize on this spiritual journey is that the world already has been conquered. There is nothing in the universe but God, one presence, one power. That first glimmer of awareness of our own divinity is the catalyst for this spiritual journey. Jesus shows us where we're headed, to overcome duality and to live full time in oneness. And I thought today's daily word had the most beautiful description of oneness I might have read anywhere. If you missed it, go look it up. It was really well written. So John wrote these amazing visions. You would swear he got hold of LSD. But remember that, like the rest of the Bible, these are descriptions of a spiritual experience that can't really be put into words. So John is giving us colorful visuals so we can kind of picture what it feels like. The primary message of Revelation is that beyond any present suffering lies the assurance of victory and joy. Revelation is one long affirmation that everything will be okay in the end. It's not linear. It jumps from scenes on earth to some in heaven to some in between. And just when you think good has finally won out, there's more strife. So it's a combination of spiritual truth and mortal struggles, just like our lives. Revelation almost didn't make the cut to be part of the Bible. The Council of Carthage included it finally in 397 AD. Some Christians still turned up their noses at it, but it was wildly popular with the people, which is kind of how I feel about it. I might rather ignore it, but it keeps coming up. So for next week's talk, I've made a list of some of the more famous images and phrases from Revelation, the ones you might have heard about. 666, Armageddon, the lake of fire, judgment day, being washed in the blood of the Lamb, the horror of Babylon. I think you may have to write some of your own songs. And you might be surprised what some of these turn out to be. Armageddon, really not a big deal. The word Antichrist is nowhere in Revelation, neither is the word rapture. But before you go today, I thought we might like to get started with the 4 horsemen of the apocalypse. Only this church would say, yay! They are in chapter 6 of Revelation pretty early, because they're a preview of what's to come on the journey. So we have to set the scene. We're in a throne room with 24 elders sitting on the thrones. There's lightning and thunder, 7 flaming torches, 4 bizarre creatures flying around singing. And a lamb that appears to have been slaughtered is the only one worthy to open a scroll that has 7 seals on it, like sealing wax. Opens them one at a time, and as each seal is broken, apparitions spring out. The first 4 seals conjure horses with riders, the 4 horsemen. So the lamb opens the first seal, and I looked, and there was a white horse. Its rider had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he came out conquering and to conquer. And what is the part of us that conquers, that overcomes? This is an image of the Christ, the divine in us. It's the presence of God riding on a white horse. It's imagery, remember, it's not literal. And it's a reassuring image coming out first. We don't know much about it yet. The rider on the white horse actually won't be seen again until the very end. But it's a clue to what this is all about. We've come to be aware of the spiritual energy in us that is available to us as we conquer doubts, fears, and false beliefs. With the second seal, out came another horse, bright red. Its rider was permitted to take peace from the earth so that people would slaughter one another, and he was given a great sword. Well, we just saw the Christ. Shouldn't we be having peace on earth? You already know the answer. The emergence of the Christ guarantees there's going to be conflict within us. A tug of war between divine consciousness and the fear-based beliefs that have dominated our lives. We talked about this on Christmas Eve. King Herod is that part of us, that ego, that feels threatened by the birth of the Christ child or the awareness of our divinity. And Herod tried to have Jesus killed. So we have the same thing here. This red horse represents our struggle to release ego, to trust the Christ of our being, to overcome duality and live in oneness. The third horse is black. It represents our belief in lack and limitation. Its rider held a pair of scales in his hand, and I heard what seemed to be a voice in the midst of the 4 living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a day's pay, and 3 quarts of barley for a day's pay, but do not damage the olive oil and the wine." This is why we give up on Revelation. But notice that the horseman is busy measuring and assigning value for work. So this is the belief that whatever we have has to be earned, when in fact our abundance is innate. We live in a limitless universe. Ideas about scarcity or that there's a limited pie to be divided among us is another belief we'll have to overcome on this journey. And the fourth horse is pale green. Its rider's name was Death, and Hades followed with him. They were given authority over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword, famine, and pestilence, and by the wild animals of the earth. Well, that's about fear. Our fears of death and hell, exactly the fears Jesus came to address, to let us know that death and hell aren't real. Life is eternal. Remember the vision of Jesus from the first chapter? The Son of Man said, "I have the keys of death and of Hades." Just saying "I am the Christ" probably won't assuage the fears of everyone. A quarter of the people will still live in fear. It says they were given authority over a fourth of the earth. Or maybe it's that a quarter of our own consciousness will continue to give power to violence, famine, disease, and death. But that leaves 3/4 of our consciousness to know we are the Christ. And that's the really good news about spiritual awareness. It doesn't have to be perfect. Faith of mustard seed, remember? We don't have to be 100% in our divinity all the time. Even Jesus had to grow into it. You'll see this over and over in Revelation, percentages, where a fourth or a third of something is destroyed, but only a fourth or a third. And we'll talk more about creative destruction, what has to be cleared away for something better to emerge. But hold on to that vision of the divine riding ahead of you on a white horse, waiting for you to catch up. The journey for each of us will be to overcome our human beliefs in death, war, good and evil, duality. And Revelation does not promise an easy journey. But even Jesus said there will always be trials and tribulations. And it's only fair to tell you, unity is not just about affirmations, prosperity, and positivity. The spiritual journey is front-loaded with overcoming. Call it healing, seeking, rising above old beliefs, and mass consciousness. But to everyone who conquers all of that, who overcomes, we are promised hidden manna, divine inner resources, and spiritual nourishment from the tree of life. So let's take this into meditation with Kit.
Really ground yourself into your chair, feet flat on the floor. If you have something in your lap, if you want to set it down, so that you can be fully present. Fully present in your body. And become more so by taking another deep breath. Deep, deep cleansing breath. And bring your attention to that third eye, that spot between your eyebrows. Visualize an opening. Mind's eye, that place of imagination. And allow to come into view that place where you are right now on your journey. Not future, not past, but simply where you are right now. Maybe you, when your mind's eye, look down at your feet. Maybe your feet are on a gravel road or in a grassy meadow or standing in water, in a lake, in a pond, in a river. But just feel yourself grounded through your feet. This moment of just being right here and right now. Allow yourself to simply love yourself completely. No past, no future. Right here. Right now. Accepting the divinity that you are. That 0.75% of you that knows. A big selfie hug, the way you would embrace a friend or a loved one. Do that for yourself. See your shining face. Open heart. Your bronzed feet solidly on the path. Deep breath. Let it out. Take another deep breath in of all that love that is swirling about you right now. Let it out into the world. That gratitude, that love, to just hang around you like a warm blanket today. And then bring yourself back to this place, this time, this room. And take a deep breath and join me in that gratitude, in the Alleluia. Hallelujah.